The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
3 o'clock hour. Went a little long there. We're starting at 3:06, but we had a lot of Pop-Tarts info that we were gleaning from Joe Zagacki there at the end, and that fascinates me. Listen, I could talk about Jim Larinago all day. I'm excited about the bowl game tomorrow. Excited might be too strong a word, but I'm aware that there's a bowl game tomorrow. But the Pop-Tart stuff, that's my wheelhouse. I probably should have led with that. And if the Jim Larinago news had not broken yesterday, I would have led. It would have been all Pop-Tarts. By the way, Gino Toretta is going to join us this hour, usually on Thursdays. We do not have a space for Don Bailey Jr. today. We do not have a space for Lee Sterling today. I did talk with Lee Sterling before the show, just for your own edification. He likes the over in tomorrow's Canes-Iowa State game. He likes over 56.5. He said to me he just can't see either team not scoring at least 30 points. So Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. He likes the Canes-Iowa State over tomorrow. All right, since we're starting the 3 o'clock hour a little bit late, I want to make sure we have time with Gino Toretta. Let's get headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
There is a bowl game right now, Hawk. I don't know if you're interested. But
I'm watching SportsCenter because I just can't bring myself to watch this, but I'll pop it on right here. What do we got? Nate, the Birmingham Bowl or the Lockheed Martin?
The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Navy. There's a minute left. Navy leads Oklahoma 21-14. Oklahoma's driving, but it's fourth down now, and they need a first down to go and tie the game.
All right, I've turned it on at the right time.
See, what can we get? What can we get Oklahoma at? What if they go down, score a touchdown, go
for Boz two? Having a good game?
The Boz?
Yeah, Brian Bosworth.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Boz. I think you're late about 40 years, though, Hawk.
Well, I haven't watched a lot of Oklahoma football recently.
Yeah, but Adrian Peterson is killing it, so don't worry. You went to UM, right? When Boz, or was that before you got there?
It was kind of that era. Like it was in my, I call it my college era. Remember Brian Bosworth? You remember Tony Mandarich, the offensive lineman, ended up getting drafted by Green Bay.
The only reason I know Brian Bosworth is because the 30 for 30 on ESPN, the U, focused. There was a big section or segment on that, like Bosworth versus UM beef when UM played Oklahoma in the 80s.
He was he was quite a character.
Well, anyway,
drafted by.
Hmm.
I know he played for Seattle, but I feel like he wasn't drafted by Seattle.
He's an actor?
He did a couple of roles, like, remember Dennis Rodman? There was a minute where Dennis Rodman and Brian Bosworth were doing action movies.
Never really panned out.
Like Rodman did a couple movies, I think, with Van Damme, and Bosworth did a couple action movies, but that didn't really pan out.
The Seahawks, by the way, he played 87, 88, 89. First round draft pick, by the way, 1987, and only played three seasons in the NFL. When I look up his Wikipedia, The reason why I was surprised that he's an actor, I look up his Wikipedia. It says Brian Bosworth, an American actor, also played in the NFL and a former football linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks.
Man, he was something. No one had ever seen anything like him when he was playing at Oklahoma.
How could dude be so good in college, but then only play three seasons in the NFL?
Well, he got injured, but the same thing happened with Tony Mandarich. So Tony Mandarich was this gigantic offensive lineman, and it was pretty apparent that he was using steroids, but we weren't as knowledgeable back then. But like, he was just covered with acne. Like he had all the telltale signs of someone that was just steroid addled. And then he got to the NFL and they started testing for steroids, and magically he shrunk like a shrinky dink. And this Tony Mandarich, this big imposing figure, all of a sudden, you know, it was Jimmy playing offensive line for the Green Bay Packers. He didn't pan out as much.
What happened to Boz? What injury was it? His neck or something?
I thought it was a back injury or something.
Huh. He tested positive for steroids too.
The Boz?
Yeah, the Boz did. Oh,
color me shocked.
Well,
pretty much they put steroids in the water back then along with the fluoride.
Yeah. The good old days, man.
Good old days.
Yeah. That's when football was football.
Right. I wonder, I'm guessing so. Geno probably played against Brian Bosworth.
If they Geno ask him played in the 86?
86 to like 89?
Huh.
I don't know. I got to look. Remind me to ask him.
All right. Nah, he was.
Nah, because he won the Heisman in 92.
89 to 92.
He did not.
That was, yeah, that makes sense. So that's when you were at UM. You were at UM like.
When Geno was there. So right? Boz was probably at the tail end and he was going to the NFL.
87. Yeah, he got drafted. Well, the Miami Hurricanes, they're looking to secure a trophy that has a toaster oven installed within it.
Biggest trophy in all of sports. I'm including the World Cup, the Stanley Cup, any cup.
I can't argue with you. So did you see Cam Ward pose and take a picture? He threw up the U. I'm showing it to you right now with the Pop-Tarts logo.
Yeah. Strong picture, strong vibe. I'm all about it.
It's what I want Josie to do. Like Josie next to the Pop-Tarts logo, throwing up the U, try to get the Pop-Tarts.
Take a bite logo. Of them. Take a bite of the Pop-Tart.
The mascot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's edible, I believe.
Right. I mean, not the guy in the suit there is not as edible. I mean, edible, but not as edible.
You could eat anything. You really think about it. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed that there's not just like a healthy flow of Pop-Tarts all throughout.
You'd think like you couldn't get out of the way of them. I was so surprised when Joe was like, yeah, they sprinkled some on some pretzels. And I don't know. You think Joe went to the wrong place?
Yeah, maybe he did.
Something didn't add up.
Right.
Like Pop-Tart spends all this money. I mean, how much is it to, like, one Pop-Tart? What's the cost? A cent? Like those are marked up.
A Pop-Tart?
Like, a Pop-Tart costs, who makes them? Kellogg's?
Yes, they make them.
So I think it's like 1 cent probably. And then the foil wrapper is probably a half a cent. They're like and so there's two in the wrapper. So they're like 2.5 cents in on a pack of Pop-Tarts. You'd think that they'd be all over. Like you would, instead of pavers, you would just, everything in Orlando is Pop-Tarts.
Not only that, but don't you think, okay, there's going to be, whatever, 8 broadcasters broadcasting this game. You have the 2 TV play-by-play, or the play-by-play guy for TV, the color guy for TV. You've got the 2 local radio stations there, and then the national radio call. Don't you think, before a broadcast for the Pop-Tarts Bowl, Pop-Tarts, I mean, they would flood Joe Zagacki and Don Bailey Jr. with Pop-Tarts. Like, have them ready to know every single thing about Pop-Tarts from a firsthand experience.
Well, it sounds like
game.
Joe is a non-willing participant in that endeavor. This is exciting. I tweeted out yesterday a picture rocking Jim Larrañaga tank tops. This is from 2015, and it was me, Zach Krantz, Shea Tabb, and Andy King. We were all working on my afternoon show back in 2015, and Coach Larrañaga was kind of just coming into prominence, you know, like people were gathering his vibe, and we had him on the show a lot. And I tweeted out a picture yesterday saying, hey, we've been on the Coach L train at 560 QAM for a long time. And guess who just liked that tweet?
Brian Bosworth.
Chris Caputo.
Oh, that's big. That's big.
Our guy.
Yeah.
We love Chris Caputo. It was also liked by Katie Meyer, but Chris Caputo, who was an assistant, he is the head coach now at GW.
He is.
But Chris Caputo just liked that tweet. It was a little moment for me.
What if I would have told you 18 months ago, Kane's women's basketball team makes the Elite Eight and the men's basketball team makes the Final Four? I tell you that April, hey, yeah, Coach Katie Meyer and Coach L are both going to be gone in 18 months.
Well, I would have said to you, she's coaching in the WNBA and he's coaching somewhere with his son in the NBA. I would have said, I can believe that, but that's why, not because NIL got to them.
You text him a Wordle score yet?
I haven't. I figured I'll give him a couple of days. Ryan Sense from Funky Buddha is now in the Wordle thread every day. He's a big Wordler.
Ooh. Is he good, though?
I cleaned his clock today, and he's all mouthy. Like, he's all lippy. Best of 10. And I said to him, we're going to play the next 10, because I play every day. I play Wordle, Dordle, Quartle, and Octordle every day.
Crazy.
So I do Wordle in the morning when I wake up. Mm-hmm. Dordle at noon, generally over an avocado toast and a latte.
Of course.
And then Quartle around 8 p.m. when I'm sitting down to watch a game or a show. Oklahoma just scored.
Touchdown. Go for two. Come on. I called it.
Just scored.
Go for two.
21-20. 6 seconds left in the Armed Forces Bowl. Will they go for two over Navy?
Don't be a coward. And you know what? I don't need 16 overtimes like we saw last night with Toledo and Pitt. Nobody needs that. Go for two.
Let's see what the Boz is going to do.
I think they're doing it. Oh, yeah. Look, the quarterback's staying out there. They're going for two. Hawk, I nailed this. I nailed
it. You said, let's bet it live. This would be everything right now. Oklahoma going for two, 6 seconds left in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. They'll take a timeout.
Is it un-American to be rooting against Navy?
Yeah, no, it's a good call. It's a good call. Yeah. Nothing's more American than the Boz.
Last night, by the way, the Heat called timeout. They're down one, 4 seconds to go. They called timeout. Jason Jackson comes to Tommy Tighe and I, as we always do, Hawk, during the course of a fourth quarter for the performance of the game. But we have to get it in before the end of the game. It's sponsored. It's a sponsored segment on the Heat broadcast. And Tommy Tighe goes with Alec Burks, who was well-deserving, 11 points in the fourth quarter. I tell Jax, Tyler Hero, but not because of his 18 points thus far, because he's got one more left in him.
You called it.
I effing called it last night,
you
baby.
Called it. Did he give you props after the game?
He didn't. And, you know, it's all right. He went into a good call. He dropped a nylon, nothing but nylon, which I love.
He had a good call. That was a great game-winning call.
He did. So the Pop-Tarts Bowl is tomorrow, 3:30. Because of that, the Heat are in Atlanta tomorrow. Apparently, Jimmy Butler, according to...
Oklahoma's got nowhere to go. Sacked. Oh. No two-point conversion. Navy is the winner of the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Brian Bosworth goes home sad. Although I guess they'll try an onside kick here.
6 seconds left. God bless America.
6 seconds left. God bless America.
Yeah.
Jimmy, fire it off.
Thank you.
God bless the USA. Do you have it? Nope. All right. We'll move on.
So what'd you make of the Pat Riley statement yesterday?
Yeah, like we talked about, I think for me, it's kind of like, hey, we're not trading them. There's not the market that we want for them. I think that they kind of have a wink-wink with Jimmy and his agent that Jimmy will opt out after that won't opt in after this season. So they won't be burdened with a $50+ million contract and everyone can remain friends. And if Jimmy chooses to go elsewhere or tries to facilitate a sign and trade, or comes back to the Heat for lesser money, but maybe 2 years. That's more palatable to the Heat. But this certainly at least takes away what was feeling like a stone rolling out of control that was just kind of gathering steam, and it seemed like we were headed towards this weird ending. Now, I do find it a little odd that Jimmy didn't travel again with the team, and he's doing reconditioning, maintenance. What does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, reconditioned with the team, especially with all this hoo-ha going on. But whatever, it's a different world.
He's got to pour coffee. He's a big face, you know. He's got,
I mean, can't they bring what do they got, those exercycles? They can't bring an exercycle. Where are they? Atlanta?
They're in Atlanta. They're in the
ATL. Can't travel with an exercycle, or maybe what do they got, one of those ski machines. You ever see those ski machines?
Yeah,
you know, something for conditioning. What do you got, an elliptical or something?
Like a Peloton? You got a Peloton? Huh?
Yeah. Can they bring a Peloton?
I'm sure they can. Sure, those travel.
Oklahoma's going to try the onside kick here. There's 6 seconds left. If they recover it, they still will have a chance to beat Navy.
The hell's the coach is just chewing out the ref. Hey,
is that Barry Switzer?
Maybe call up a better play. I think it's Bob Stoops. Call up a better play on the 2-point conversion. You get sacked on the 2-point conversion. What a bum. Oh! Nah, they touched it before. They touched it before. They didn't even get it. Bunch of bums.
No! No!
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, regardless, it doesn't matter because Navy got it. But I thought Navy touched it and Oklahoma had a chance to recover it there.
Nah, there's the flag already. Oklahoma touched it before the 10 yards. Well, there you go. Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl goes to Navy 21-20. Dolphins play the Browns on Sunday.
Valiant effort by Barry Switzer, Brian Bosworth, and the rest of the Sooners. Boomer Sooner.
4:15 on Sunday, Dolphins at the Browns. No Anthony Walker Jr. We know he is out. Dolphins injury report comes out a little bit later. However, there is some hope that Jalen Waddle can go. And what was the other news? Oh, yeah. Jordan Brooks as well. Mike McDaniel, very optimistic about Jordan Brooks. And we found out earlier, for those of you who had just joined us in the last hour, that Raheem Mostert revealed to the media he's been playing with a fractured sternum this season, which explains why he's kind of not been excellent all year.
Very limited. Very
all
limited.
Year. Yeah. And Tyreek Hill is clearly not healthy. We kind of knew that about Tyreek, but what did he say to the media, Hawk, that he's going to need
a torn ligament in his wrist.
Yeah, he's going to need surgery. We knew that as well, though, that he's going to need surgery this offseason. So those are your Dolphins updates. Tomorrow, the Chargers play and the Broncos play. Chargers at Patriots, Broncos at the Bengals. If both the Chargers and the Broncos win tomorrow, then the Dolphins are done. They're not making the playoffs. The game Sunday does not matter. If one of those two teams lose, then the Dolphins still have a puncher's chance at the postseason.
Well, that was fun. I'm glad I turned on the Oklahoma game. Thank you for giving me a heads up.
Yeah, we got a good.
Should I go back to SportsCenter, or should I watch Arsenal versus Ipswich Town?
Oh, Arsenal versus Ipswich for sure. Big game. Right. Big game. What's that on?
That is USA.
All right. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy. A little rainy today. It's like 78 degrees currently. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the low 70s. That is your weather. You know, Hawk, I switched to this YouTube TV because Jimmy, he sold me a bill of goods is what he did.
Yeah.
I can't find USA. I can't watch any soccer anymore.
Arsenal and Ipswich, scoreless in the ninth minute.
Oh, okay.
I'll keep you updated.
Thank you.
Gino Toretta is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk some college football with the Heisman Trophy winner in a moment.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Appel, is there any possibility that Billy the Marlin is a bird?
Hawk and Crowder.
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He usually joins us on Thursdays. We were off yesterday. He's kind enough to join us. today. Gino, of course, the ambassador for Evening's Delight, South Florida's source for all outdoor kitchen, grilling, and tailgate needs. They've got a full line of grills, smokers, and more. Evening's Delight, they've got two locations, Pinecrest and Davie. Traditions are better with Traeger, so grab a Traeger grill at Evening's Delight. Hello, Gino.
Hello, Hawk. How are you doing?
How was your Christmas? You had a good Christmas?
It was fabulous. I'm still trying to work through a lot of leftovers. I just texted you.
What'd you grill?
On the gabagool? No, that's in the basement. I got it. You know what? I have found a new supplier in Chicago. So I found a new gabagool supplier.
Look at those artichokes that you grilled up.
I put the artichokes on the Traeger, smoked them to give them the hickory flavor, and then fired them on the on my gas grill with the chive butter, and they were outstanding. So that was one item.
Monstrous artichokes.
My wife made homemade braciole, tortellini and brodo. We also had some Joe's to go, some stone crab for our feast.
I saw that. You ran into Joe's Agaki at Joe's.
Yes. Always make a trip out there on, if I don't order seafood from Seattle, the Dungeness crabs that I really like, then I will make a quick run for some hash browns, some spinach, and some stone crab. And then
what about a key lime pie?
No key lime because we had a lot of fresh cookies and items here. So I went no key lime.
What do you do, those Italian cookies?
Italian cookies. We have the nut roll, the sour cream. My wife makes a homemade gingerbread cookie. I'm trying to think what else was there. There was about food for 25, and there was three of us. So
you're still fighting through.
Yeah. Then all that, and then a friend of mine sent me 6 live Maine lobsters in a box.
Wow.
Have you ever done that? So you get a box and it's like, I kind of hear something in the box. I'm like,
they're legitimately live.
They're legit. Yeah. But then like when you open the styrofoam, there's like seaweed on top of them and you move them and then they start moving. So then we had,
you got to put them in the boiling water.
It's not very nice to put live things in boiling water. So, you kind of feel guilty at first.
But it does taste so good.
Oh, my God. It was like, so I had like 6 of them. So I had to boil them 3 at a time. Then I pull them out. Then I had to cut the tails off, cut the claws off. And then I grilled them with some butter. They were outstanding. But there's so much food here.
Arsenal just scored, by the way, Gino. 1-0 over Ipswich.
Right on.
Gino, the best thing I ever had when I went to Italy, and I went back for it, was carciofi a la guida or something like that. I don't know, but I didn't know what it was. I ordered it, and it was artichokes. They were grilled artichokes. The best thing I've ever eaten.
I'll send you the recipe, Solana, for you grill them and then a little lemon chive butter. Lemon chive butter and then you make a lemon aioli with like charred lemon and it's outstanding. I mean, it's one of my favorite things. Stuffed artichokes.
How long do you boil a lobster for, though?
It was like 20 minutes until they're like bright red. But then that was only half of it. Because I like grilled Florida lobster. So then I cut the tails
over Maine lobster.
I like grilled lobster tails. It doesn't really matter.
Florida lobster. I mean, it doesn't even compare.
I don't know about that. I like Florida lobster. I like it grilled, and I like putting my chive butter on the tail. So
how do you eat the lobster that you cook? Do you do drawn butter, or do you make some sort of mustard sauce?
Just a little butter. And I put butter. I grill them. I threw them back on the grill and put butter and chives on them there.
Oh, sounds so good.
Just loaded them up with extra cholesterol and fat just to make sure all my arteries and
I'm going to a movie tonight. I'm going to get a large popcorn with butter. Hold the popcorn.
I couldn't tell you the last movie I went to. At a movie theater.
Every now and then, so my son's home from school and, every now and then, hey, you going out tonight? No. How about we go see a movie? There's nothing good out. When I tell you there's nothing good out right now, there's nothing good out. But we like going down to Dania Beach They have a 4DX theater there. Okay. So the seats, they literally move like it's a Universal ride. It's overdone. It's no way to watch a movie. It's terrible. But we go see movies like this all the time. Doesn't matter what the movie is because the seats are just moving the entire, like, it's not subtle. You know what I mean? It's literally 2 hours of just herky-jerky movements. The water sprays at you. And so we're going to see
water Sonic. Sprays at you in the movie theater?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's at that big Dania, that new movie, that new Dania theater.
All right.
And so we've gone, like, we saw, I don't know, we've seen a bunch of movies there just because it's a fun way to see a movie if you don't care about the movie. So we're going to see Sonic the Hedgehog 3 tonight. The only thing that's playing at that theater.
Damn, I missed the first two.
Yeah, well, neither of us have seen the first two. He's played the video game, Sonic, but neither of us have seen the first two. So I went on YouTube, and they do recaps of movies, 2 to 3 minutes. So now I watched the recap of Sonic 1 and Sonic 2. So I'm going in, I got the background, and I can't wait.
I hope if they spray water, like on the people, I hope you hit the guy in front of you and stand up, you spit at me, and just start a
big hoo-ha
in the middle of the theater.
Yeah, pour my bucket of butter on him. Although the funny thing is, I never put butter on popcorn in a movie theater. You don't go to the movies, but I love popcorn.
I'm with you there
because
butter just disintegrates the popcorn. Like, well, the ones it hits,
it's like just too greasy. I don't know. It's like too much. You do butter on the popcorn, Solana?
You have to have something. It's not really butter. It's kind of just oil, grease theater. You have to have it as dry and nasty without butter or something on it.
Yeah, I do. I do light butter though. I'm trying to keep my arteries pumping for, you know, a little bit longer than yours and Hawks, you know. But I go butter, but then I throw like M&Ms or snow caps. Like I do the sweet and salty combo when I do popcorn.
I hate people that do that, and also snow caps are the worst. I mean, just the
snow caps. That candy treat, yeah, that's like
worst
dots.
Movie theater candy.
Dots are stuck to your gums for like a month.
Dr. Chuck loves dots. They're the worst gelatinous candy that's ever been invented. Like an orange slice, Publix brand orange slice, they're delicious. A Jelly Belly, delicious. Those dots, that it's truly the worst candy that has ever been created.
The only person that likes dots are the dentists.
Yeah, right. Literally, you pull your teeth out. There's no way Solana can eat a dot. He's had so much gum surgery in 30 years that it's crazy.
Anyway,
I could talk about this for hours, and maybe we should. But let me ask you something.
Well, are we renaming the show the Hawk and Gino Show going into 2025?
Crowder was supposed to be here, if that means anything.
I've heard that before. Crowder was supposed to be here, if that means anything.
He was supposed to be here. You want to talk about the Pop-Tarts Bowl, or you want to talk about Jim Larranaga before we run out of time?
We could talk about anything.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it an impossible task nowadays for an old school coach like Jim Larranaga to be able to coach and recruit in the NIL era? Because it is so different. It is a completely different ballgame.
I don't think so. I think there's one thing with the NIL is there may need to be more than one person. What I mean by that is, you know, similar to what Stanford's done with Andrew Luck, bringing him in as a general manager to kind of manage the roster. It's more of an NFL type or NBA type model where cash is a factor. And I think that, you know, for the coaches that have built the relationship on, hey, I'm going to do my best to develop your son as a player through college, that has gotten, you know, Coach L has been very successful to hear. But now there's throw in the incentive of cash and people trying to bring these players to different schools that it affects. And I think that you have to be focused on, you know, anything you do, you try to be focused on one thing to be great at it. And I think that that's just another element that may be the model for the administration of each individual sport is changing. It already has in football. It's changing with the addition of personnel people in college. and it's coming. It may come to basketball faster than football from the standpoint of the revenue share for schools that are, let's say, mid-majors, but they're Power 5 basketball, like a Georgetown, St. John's, Seton Hall, all those schools that don't have football to share the revenue with. Well, you got the revenue. You have to share it with the players and the athletes. Man, if you're a basketball player, that number to those schools, I got to think, is different than a number to a Power 5 school that also
– And there's less basketball players to split it up.
Yeah, you're talking – and look, you know, I mean, you know, I think when we started talking about this, you're like, oh, wouldn't it be great? Can you imagine how much money you thought? And I remember when this whole thing started, I'm like, okay, you know, it'd be a nice kickstart. But some of the numbers that these kids are throwing around as right out of high school, I mean, that's – if you invest it right, save it right, you're talking about life-changing from then, and you really can't blame them that they're
I don't blame them at all.
Paid.
I've always maintained the free market system works itself out. There's hurdles and bumps in the road right now because it is so new. But people are not going to throw bad money after bad money constantly. So there's a figuring out process before.
I don't know. There's some guys in the NFL that play quarterback and made a boatload of dough.
Well, no, I'm not saying that there won't be. I'm not saying that there won't be people who get overpaid, but I think the Wild West portion of it will clear itself up as this progresses.
There's no stability. And what I mean by stability is in the NFL, it's 4 years to free agency. And you have a contract.
Right. And there's a salary cap, and it's going to – right. Like,
this is literally
unregulated.
You're a twice-a-year free agent.
Right.
So think of – I mean, like, listen, I guarantee there's some guys in the NFL – for the Dolphins that are playing right now. If they could say at the end of the season, hey, you know what? I want to be a free agent. I think I reset my market, whether they're on a rookie contract or whether they're on a veteran.
I would love to do it in radio. I'm being honest. I don't blame anyone who does that. When you have that right, because we have no competes, I would love to be able to declare myself a free agent twice a year.
Yeah, where are you going? There's
nowhere to go. Radio's dying.
Hey, you might be a free agent for life if you start doing that.
Yeah, radio's dead, Gino. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm not going anywhere. But I do love the theory. Like, anyone who blames someone trying to maximize their market value is crazy, because anyone would want to do that.
What's crazy is a football player is allowed to do it twice in a year, every single year they go to college. That's what's crazy. Like,
but
to me,
I think that'll get corrected.
Yeah, you're committed for a year at the end of the season. Maybe instead of spring ball before the end of the second semester, you have spring ball after the second semester, and maybe do like an OTA kind of NFL thing for new players that gets your, you know, your transfers in. But yeah, the whole December transfer portal. I mean, Malik Murphy, the quarterback for Duke, that's now going to Oregon State. He left Texas last year as they were in their playoff run. He was kind of the first guy that had to leave a playoff team because he needed to go to a new school to start the second semester wherever he wanted to be. Now he's decided to move on. You know, it's a different deal, and it's strange. I just, to me, is you got to close this portal in the middle of this right now in the season, because it's not even over with.
Yeah, I think that'll get corrected in the future. Let me ask you something on a personal note. Teddy Bridgewater, he coaches, you know, high school team to a championship this season. Now he's back in the NFL. Michael Vick took a coaching job in college. Deion Sanders has had tremendous success. I think I saw something today that DeSean Jackson is finalizing a deal to become a head coach at an HBCU. What about you? You have a desire to get involved with, I don't know if it's coaching or administration, and would it be with the University of Miami? Like, do you have a desire to be part of the athletic department in some capacity? Because I can't imagine that you, a Heisman Trophy winner, would not be an asset to the athletic department.
Well, the right situation and the right role, whether that's coaching and or administration. I mean, heck, you were my biggest cheerleader. I think you and Crowder were trying to announce me as the AD a few years ago. That
nothing would have made me happier, man.
So I don't think there's any question. I'd be interested in doing that. I mean, I know that I wouldn't come in and expect to be a head coach at any level, you know, maybe high school, I guess, but in college, I would think coming in as minimum a quarterback coach or court QB coach analyst, but yeah, I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be great to be a teacher of football. And then other things, life lessons, and whether that was in administration or for a school. But I think it'd be a lot of fun. And I think that's why guys are going back. I think the interesting thing about Bridgewater is, besides coaching, he had to be working out. Like, there's no way, like, he's just coaching and goes right back and he's the backup into a system in the NFL. If this all along wasn't, hey, I got this much time, I can also put in some workouts and be prepared to go in and play a supporting role for a team. And I would assume the Lions and him kind of had talked about this prior and were like, you stay in shape, you know, come in for a workout. And as long as his ability was where they needed him, I think, props to him. He got healthy because he had some injuries. You take some time off and he's back. I think it's great. I mean, for how he challenged Northwestern, how he challenged those kids, how he got them to believe and win a national champ or a state championship, I think it's phenomenal. But yeah,
is there a chance that if you won a championship, let's say you came back and was a quarterback coach for UM, you won a championship, do you think you would re-enter the NFL?
No, I would want to re-enter in college because there's less responsibilities.
We have talked about that. Can you imagine how much money you would have made during the NIL era?
You know, in the NFL, it's a job. In college, it's not a job. Let's be honest.
The tavern would have been paying you to hang out there.
I would have, besides owning the tavern, I would have literally owned the tavern.
You'd have gone to Coconut Grove and said, hey, let's stop by Gino Toretta's Senior Frogs.
I would have kept Tony Roma's alive on US1, Hawk. I would not have let it turn into a bank.
Who would have cashed in the most in your era? You think it was you?
Oh.
You never played against Brian Bosworth. We were talking about that in the last segment.
No.
Because the Oklahoma game was on. You knew that he was before you, yeah?
No, I did not play against Bosworth. Guys that would have cashed in, listen, I think partly personality, partly talent. I think Warren Sapp would have just rung the register because I think he's a great guy. I think he's the only player I'd known that I played with at UM that could have started both ways as tight end and D tackle, turns into All American, Hall of Famer. And he knew how to work the media, if you will. I mean, think about it. The guy was a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. He was a defensive tackle.
I mean,
that's how good he was. And I think he would have been great, but he would have probably cashed in the most.
Man, you had some personalities on that team, though. Those teams, like, I mean, just loaded with personalities, starting with Dennis Erickson live from Corbett's on US1.
Heck, I remember the Marino show. It was out, Hooters and 120, Kendall, way out.
How was that, like Gatsby's or something? Wasn't it Gatsby's?
No, he was my 89, when I started a few games, I remember it was the Dan Marino show with Tony Segretto, and I went out to Town and Country Mall.
Town and Country, that's my neck of the woods, you know?
Your hood, sure. Your old stomping grounds. And I remember going out there, Hawk, and I was 19. And Marino's Marino. He's 5 years in the league. He's like, hey, man, here's my number. Call me anytime. Da, 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 da. And I'm like looking at him. I'm like, serious?
Amazing.
Yeah, it was just like, you're in awe. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just thought it was.
Hey, he's royalty. Really he's quarterback like, royalty.
Yeah, not like I was. That was the next step for me. I was 19 in my second year of college. Worrying about, you know, like Hawk said, my accounting class and going down to Coconut Grove.
You remember the Erickson show though at Corbett's?
Heck yeah, I remember the Erickson show. Yeah, they would move that thing all around. Did they do it at Big Cheese too? I mean, it was Corbett's.
There was one year that it was at Corbett's because
didn't it used to be there was somewhere else that used to, Monty's used to have it.
Monty's used to have it.
Trainers used to have it. They moved it around a little bit. So Yeah. You know, there was probably some cold drinks.
Erickson enjoyed himself.
Always.
No question.
Always. Never,
double PK,
never
PK-12s. PK-12s at Monty's.
Some silver bullets.
God, whatever was on draft. Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner. We covered a lot of ground today. None of it the Pop Darts Bowl. Gino Toretta is the ambassador for Evening's Delight, South Florida's source for all outdoor kitchen, grilling, and tailgate needs. They've got a full line of grills, smokers, and more. Evening's Delight has two locations, Pinecrest and Davie. Have a great weekend. And go Canes, and hopefully we will speak with you next week after a Canes Bowl victory and a toaster, a fully functioning toaster trophy added somewhere to the Hecht Center.
Sounds good, Hawk.
A ridiculous sentence I put together there at the end. Truly the height of college football, a fully functioning toaster trophy. All right, there you go. Gino Toretta, 4 o'clock hour's coming up. We're going to be a little bit late because we've gone long here.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight.
Hawk and Crowder.